I'm not trying to argue.
Wait, am I going to defend who? No. Learn to discern. I got a bad back, and I'm an old man. After preaching all day, last year I did this 2 days, 25 hours of preaching. My body was beat up. I took some Tylenol to help me, help the swelling, the inflammation, took it down. That's not pharmakia. Pharmakia is when you use drugs to reach spiritual places like the Indians do with peyote. If you could take marijuana, okay?
Let's say you do it to sleep.
Is if you could take marijuana and rub it on your skin and it makes a rash go away, it's a medicine. Okay. That's not sinful. But if you smoke it to get out of a sober mind, now it's sinful. So you're a paramedic. I didn't tell you that's sinful.
What if you smoke it not to get out of a sober mind?
It's still bad for your temple. God doesn't have you smoke anything. That's terrible for your lungs. You're destroying your temple. That's still sin.
According to who?
Paul says if you destroy the temple, God will destroy you.
Who says that the smoke is like...
Well, I think it's pretty clear. He's a paramedic. You know a little bit on medicine. You think smoking is good for your lungs?
I've technically done research.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of potheads. Not that you're a pothead. I've heard a lot of potheads say, man, I just smoke it because I like the taste of it. I'm like, yeah, right.
No. Apparently, marijuana stops bronchitis and like repels other lung issues.
That's another whole topic. I'm not an MD, but sorcery, pharmakia, is the use of drugs for spiritual reasons. Now, I agree with you. The medical field has gone way too far with drugs and medicine. I agree. My wife and I are very much out of it. Now, if I fall down and my bone's sticking out and I'm bleeding to death, please, paramedic, come. Shove the bone in and sew me up. But when it comes to like cancer, hey, man, you got cancer. You might have prostate cancer or rectal cancer. Yeah, we're going to shove a big tube up your butt and we're going to do all this stuff. They've proven all that stuff is bad for you. You're better off to attack cancer with fasting, with a better diet.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
So what if somebody smokes marijuana not for the spiritual reason, but for the physical reasons of, let's say, a bad back?
If they're not getting stoned, first of all, I wouldn't smoke it. I'd put it on an anointment.
What if they eat it?
That's just like taking a Tylenol. If it doesn't get you stoned, it's just a medicine. God gave us herbs. Well, it's destroying your temple. It's not good for your body. But that's kind of a weird issue to talk about. My point is, all of these men that you're bringing up, and you said, who else would you believe? I have a question for you. Who do you lift up? Everybody asks me that. Who do you lift up, man, on the internet today? Who are we supposed to model?
Jesus.
Paul, why do we need more people? I'm not asking you to follow two posts. Now, I have a website that teaches against all those men that I would encourage you to test yourself, but I don't want you following me. I don't say, I've got it going on. I'm proclaiming the oracles of God and calling this out as sinful and false and carnal and fleshly. What's going on there is flesh. We're to worship God in the spirit. What Gredlock does in his building with the bang, gong, driving music, everybody's dancing, jumping up and down, that's not of God. The Holy Spirit joy. Do you know what it is? Have you studied the scriptures? Go to the scriptures, look at the Greek, look at the Hebrew. The joy of the Holy Spirit. It's not this, jumping around like an idiot, like in there. It's not. Jesus, Paul, John the Baptist, Peter, they didn't do that. You know what the joy of the Holy
Spirit?
That was in the Old Testament when he didn't have the Holy Spirit. They also...
He did, though, because he said, Lord, don't take your spirit from me.
He didn't have the indwelling spirit. The spirit was upon him at times. The indwelling didn't come till Acts 2. Be careful if you want to go to the Old Testament. I love you. You know what you're going to have? The Torah law. Look what I'm doing. You're going to be hanging phylacteries between your eyes, and you're going to be wearing tassels. And if your wife sits on a couch when she has her period, you can't sit on it. That's the Torah law. I don't keep the Torah law. That's what literally God was saying. But the joy of the Holy Spirit. Ready? You know what it is? Inner calm and cheer. So people walk by me, and they see me standing here, and I'm preaching Christ. And I'm not jumping in down, up and down, and I'm acting in my flesh. And they go, man, you don't look like you're very happy. You look like you need some joy. Inner calm and joy. You think Jesus jumping around, dancing? No, inner calm. All that is fleshly foolishness at Greg Locke, Isaiah Salvador, Alexander Pagani. This is all hype. This is all luring people away with snake oil salesmen. They're not godly, biblical men. They're pushing deliverance ministry because people are rushing for the signs and the wonders. People are flocking to Greg Locke's church because there's something special happening there. Jesus said in the last days, they'll be saying, he's there, he's there, he's there. Don't believe him in Matthew 24. When the Son of Man comes, he's going to part the clouds. He's going to come at the end of the tribulation, which a lot of people are teaching pre-trib, which I think a lot of those guys do, which is a lie. He's coming at the end of the tribulation. True saints are going to have to suffer the wrath of Satan, not God. And Satan's going to say, take your money and your job and take the mark of the beast and go this way. We have this line for you people that rebel against us.
Where are you going? I mean, like, what? I'm not arguing again. I just want to say, like, mark of the beast comes. What is your job, first of all? Did you get paid for this?
No.
Well, how do you make money?
I worked my whole life. I retired early, sold everything we own. We live in a camper van. We sold everything we own. We travel the country. Yesterday, a young guy tried to put money in my hand. I said, go do something good with it. I don't need your money.
Do you have any kids?
Huh?
Do you have any kids?
Our kids are all grown and gone.
What do they do?
What do they do? All kinds of things. Our kids were gone, and we were worldly, drunken pagans with them. And after they were all gone, we became born again. So none of our kids are believers. I have one son who knows it's true, and he admitted to me, he's 35. He said, Dad, everything you say is true. I can't disprove it. I said, son, what's stopping you from becoming my brother? The cost is too great, he said. I'll lose everything. I'll lose my friends. I'll lose my family. He said, I can't do it right now, Dad. I said, I hope you live long enough because you could die tomorrow and you're going to lose your soul. So all of our kids were gone. We used to drink and party with them. So I support myself. I retired early to do this. I don't want to be a burden to people. We travel the country all over the place. We're up here in the summer, go all over Minnesota and everything, and then we go south because nobody's out here when it's 20 below. And we've preached at Green Bay Packers games. We go down to Texas, Florida, and we're just spreading the gospel. And my goal is, ready? I got to boast in Christ. I boast a lot, but it's in Jesus. I got to boast about my Savior. Three guys today, young guys, 20, 21, and 18, heard my preaching, was watching, came over to talk to me, and they said, my spirit is pricked. I said, what do you mean? They said, this stuff has been bugging me about my church. It's carnal. It's worldly. One guy said in the sanctuary, singing, praying, all this stuff. Everybody wants Jesus. He goes, they get in the coffee lounge, and he goes, Packers, movies, carnality, gossip. He said, they're not of God.
You know, I'm not
going to
hide it from
you. No. Right? That doesn't defile me. I hope. I love you. I hope you repent of that.
Yeah.
I thought Isaiah cleared all that out for you.
Hey, I didn't clear it out.
That's your flesh, not a demon.
I know that.
I can help you with that. No, give me that. I'll throw it away.
I got one left.
I'll throw it away. All right.
I don't want to lie to
all right. So.
Same thing has been freaking me, though.
Okay. These three men left. They didn't go back in for their $80 fun and joy or whatever it is. They said, we got
to
go.
You're supposed to volunteer and help people get right.
They said, where is the Bible? Where is anybody pray over anybody that aren't true biblical saints? First of all, ready?
Give their lives over to me. At least give them that.
No, ready for this? Jesus never prayed with one person. Now, I know he was the Savior. He never prayed with one person. Now, who prayed together? In the Bible, in the New Testament.
The apostles.
True saints prayed with true saints. You will not find one place there was ever anybody invited to come to Jesus by a prayer, which is what this false evangelist is going to do. You never see anybody saying, ready, this goes on all the time. And I have to be careful. I'm a preacher. I know Jesus said you're going to be hated, but I never want to offend people. You guys might say, hey man, this has been good. Let's all pray together. And I say, can I not offend you? But can I tell you something? Please don't take this the wrong way. I don't pray with people I don't know. Paul says, lay hands quickly on no man. Be not partakers of their sin. You don't know me. I don't know you. You never see the disciples unite in prayer only with people they were united and walking with and saw their faith, and that's who they prayed with. You never see, oh Lord, let's pray for this man right now. Never see it. The proclamation of the gospel is always faith in Jesus Christ, shed blood and his resurrection. Repent and turn from your sin. If you don't, you're going to die in your sin. You must repent and forsake sin. Be born again by the Spirit of God. When you're born again by the Spirit of God, you desire holiness and obedience and righteousness, and you now walk in the ways of God and test everything, and you must endure to the end, like a marriage. You got to endure in your marriage?
Yeah.
You could throw it away, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You could throw away your salvation. You could throw away your covenant with God. This is what is preached, and then the Spirit draws people. The other day, a worldly Baptist man, I was preaching in Minocqua on their busy tourist way, he said to me, how many people did you convert to Jesus today? And I looked at him and I said, have you read Acts 2? He goes, well, yeah. I said, what does it say about who joins the body by who? He didn't know. The last verse of the book of Acts chapter 2 says, and God added to the body as he saw fit. We don't win
Jesus
anybody. Christ calls them by the Spirit. I proclaim the gospel. The Holy Spirit convicts them. I can't claim any part of it other than I try to gain you for the kingdom by preaching sound doctrine to you. But the Spirit has to do it, and the Word has to do it. So the evangelical church system, which is promoting all this, is failing people because it's not practicing biblical New Testament Christianity. And go back to how you act, how you talk, how you dress, how you spend your money, who you associate with, what you preach, what you do with your time. These all fall under the headship of Jesus Christ. If you truly are born again, guess what? You are now what's called a doulos. You know what a doulos is in the Greek? A servant, a slave, a bond slave. And I love this definition. Ready? A doulos. If you're a slave of Christ, you no longer live for your own desires. You give up. I wanted to be a famous movie star. I wanted to be an NFL star. You go, I'm a doulos, a servant of Christ. It says he no longer lives for his pleasure. He lives for his master's will.
How do you know what to do once you say that? Like, how do you know to do this?
God's will? People ask me that all the time. What is God's will? Read the Bible. Read the New Testament. Go preach the gospel. First of all, you got to be born again, repent, and be of Christ. And then once you're obeying him, he can use you. But God's will is that you go preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. I've been teaching a bunch of stuff. That's God's will. Now, you have liberty to do that in many ways, as long as you don't sin doing it. We never join to worldliness and false doctrine. Roman Catholicism's going on in there. Bob Lentz is a heretic who runs this. Toby Mack is the music whore that's united to a bunch of sin. Casting Crowns was in here, I think, yesterday. All bunch of pride and vanity and selling the things of God. We never unite to sin, but you have liberty to do a lot of things. You can go out and hand it out one-on-one. You could do it online. You could put up newspaper ads. You could put up bulletin boards. What's that? It's not godly music.
What is godly music?
Godly music is the New Testament. Who do we example?
Psalms or something?
Who do we example? Jesus and Paul, right?
Okay.
1 Corinthians 11 says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's your charge. Not David. Not anyone else. Paul and Jesus. That's what the Bible says. I'm teaching what the Bible says. Paul and Jesus, when Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26, pretty important, right? Lord's Supper, bread and wine. Jesus gave the bread and the wine, and then he called for the musicians, and they jammed out and did a rock session. They sang a hymn. The Bible in the New Testament, they sang with their lips. Do you know why? This is beautiful. We've gone from outside flesh. They used to circumcise men and kill sheep. Now we're circumcised in the heart, and everything is spiritual. They used to have to praise God with instruments. That's all they had. Guess what the instrument is now? Our hearts. Ephesians says, Paul, the Greek literally means thump your heart strings for God and make a melody from your mouth. So biblical singing to God is true godly saints raising our voices, not up on a stage, not in pride and vanity, not selling albums, practicing. Churches have worship practice all the time. Have you ever thought of how insane that is? Do you practice hugging and kissing your wife? Does it just come natural? They practice worship. This is not of God. Biblical music is singing with your lips, true biblical saints that can gather. Because it's not the model, and let me keep going. This is fleshly. They'll all be rocking out, it's emotional. If the music stopped and the power went out, what happens? I've been in a church where everybody's rocking. We're loving Jesus. We're rocking. Look at me. We're rocking. The lights went out and everybody's like, oh, what happened? Dead stop until the music comes on. Do you know music is a drug? They've proven that music affects your mind and dopamine and does the same thing sex does and drugs does. Music. Ready? Over in Africa. Greg Locke's guilty of this, and so are a lot of the NAR guys that he's linking to. Music in Africa. What do the voodoo priests use? Let's admit it. To summon up demons. Boom, 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 boom. When you hear that, boom, 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 before you know it, you start going like this. It's all fleshly. You need to keep, Jesus said, if you worship me in man-made traditions, Mark 7, you worship God in vain. Christmas is in vain. Easter's in vain. Fleshly music is in vain. And it creates a fleshly thing where you're ready. The Bible says sing songs and hymns to each other. You know what's wrong with contemporary Christian music? People buy these CDs. They had a really rough day at work. They pop in the CD that gets them fleshly because it makes me feel better. That's not what God said. God said, sing to me. Sing to me and I will bring you joy. Sing to me and I'll give you peace. Not throw a CD and listen to Toby Mac that gets your flesh going. totally opposite.
I mean, I would have to probably, like, you're still singing to Jesus, this is the song you're hearing. Like, what's the difference? Like,
because it's not what God ordained it. He killed priests for bringing strange fire. They brought different fire and he killed them in Leviticus 10. He killed Ananias and Sapphira for bringing one lie. You don't take sin serious enough. Let me ask you a question. Are you married?
Yeah.
Can your wife go sleep with your best friend one time?
No.
Why not? It's just one.
Yeah.
How about, could she neck with him?
Making a connection of,
could she neck with him?
Like, kiss his neck?
Neck, you know, like teenagers do.
Yeah.
How about just do other stuff?
No.
Wow, you're really a legalist. You're really holding, limiting her
to. I'm not saying you're a legalist, but I'm saying like.
Do you see how husbands have a real high standard for their wives, but for their life in Christ, it's like, oh, come on, I don't want to obey God always.
Well,
how many drugs can your kids take? Illegal drugs? None.
I've never had conviction.
I get what you're saying. No,
like, I've had clear conviction.
Raise your standard. Raise your standard.
I've had like clear conviction for like sexual sins and like when I did mushrooms. But like when I dress, I don't have conviction about it unless I am actually like dang near. Like,
well, guess what? Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. None of these men have taught you that. If you'd go and study and if you'd walk in there. This.
So here's the thing. Leviticus says you can't eat a fruit of a tree. After
that's Torah law. I'm not teaching Torah law.
He just said you just quoted Leviticus.
No, I'm not teaching. I said God killed two men. Showing you his fire.
Yeah.
And no, and
fire.
He did in Leviticus, he did it in Acts 2 or in Acts 5. And ready for this? 1 Corinthians 11.
Not for singing to John God.
Sin. For one sin, one lie. This is lies. This is fleshly. This is carnal.
So playing my guitar. Playing guitar just in general is
you want to play your guitar in your house? Whatever you do in your house is up to you.
Just
you go before
said,
God.
Jesus, I love you with my guitar. It's sin. That's
why do you need the guitar when they didn't do it?
Why not?
It's fleshly. Why do it?
Well,
why don't you play a harp? That's what they played in the Old Testament. Get a harp.
But why would we What's need a phone when they didn't have it? You know,
what's that?
Why would we need technology when they didn't have
because
it?
Because God says use all things for his glory. It doesn't limit me
so
to say thou shalt not use a phone. It doesn't limit me. It's not part of my worship. My phone's not part of my worship. Music
like,
is part of worship.
Kind of,
music is part of worship. My phone isn't. My van isn't. Now, if I introduce this into worship and said everyone that worships God must have an iPhone, now my phone becomes part of trying to bring it into the...
I agree with you on a lot of stuff.
Some stuff I just don't...
Well, you go back to clothing.
I can't
You're not convicted because you haven't studied and ready. I was going to go to 1 Corinthians 11.
We would go to hell because we didn't know about clothing
things. Well, see, but why don't you go learn about it?
I have a uniform policy. I'm going to wear a tunic to work.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus say to follow him you might lose everything?
Yeah.
What if your wife says, wow, you're changing and you want to be godly. I didn't marry that. I'm leaving. What are you going to do, change for her? Then she's your idol. Jesus said in Matthew 10, lose everything. He came to separate mothers from daughters, fathers from sons, husbands from wives. We've lost everything to follow Christ. We have 8 grandchildren. I get to see 3 of them. That's it. One child talks to me out of 5. They're all worldly and carnal. They love their sin. We didn't separate from them. They separated from us because they're not Christians. The other members of our family, my mother was a worldly so-called Christian. She died. I hadn't seen her for 8 years. Didn't want to see her. Separated from her. My wife's wife died 2 years ago, same thing. Worldly Lutheran, trampling the blood of Jesus, living in sin and worldliness. So you're picking on a bunch of stuff that you really haven't even got to yet. If your heart is changed.
So if we haven't gotten to it yet, are we going to be judged for that?
Well, now that you know about it, you better go after it. And
well, how should I dress?
I just told you. What did God do in the beginning of creation? In Genesis 3, before Torah law that we don't keep.
Like a fig leaf or something like
that? No. Adam and Eve put on fig leaves. See, this backs up my case. They were dressing, showing off their bodies. God killed animals and put on a kutanith in the Hebrew word, which means a tunic, which
is... So why don't you wear an animal? You're wearing cotton.
Well, the clothing doesn't matter. It's the coverage of the body, sir. He did it to shed blood as an archetype. The clothing, they later wore knit clothing. The clothing, see again, spiritual versus material. He's teaching us a concept. Shed blood, cover us, our clothing. Later, it's shed blood of sheep. Later, it's the ultimate Lamb of God. You see the archetypes? Noah built a wooden ark. Do you see that that's an archetype of Jesus Christ? Why? Noah had to work on his faith to build the ark. What if Noah said, I believe in you, God, but I ain't going to spend my time building an ark? What would happen to him?
Died in
the flood. Faith and works go together. Jesus is like that wooden ark. What did Noah do? Got in the ark. This is a beautiful thing. Ready? Noah got in the ark. The Bible tells us this. God closed the door and what does it say? Sealed it. From the outside. Perfect seal, right? So you go to Ephesians and you read where God seals you with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed salvation. It means that you're sealed. It's an earnest. That word means earnest. Anybody buy a house here? When you buy a house or a car, what do? Put down earnest money. Question, is the deal done with the earnest money? Only holds it until you finish the deal. So the Holy Spirit's a seal, earnest. Circumcision was the seal of God in the Old Testament. Did men get circumcised and still die and suffer the wrath of God in the Old Testament? They did. Go back to Noah. Could Noah, was he a master woodsman building an ark?
Probably.
Could he have chopped his way out of that ark and jumped out?
Sure.
He sealed, but his will kept him in there. God sealed it like the Holy Spirit. So you get the Holy Spirit when you're born again, but you can leave Christ. You can sin and grieve the Holy Spirit. You can live in willful sin that's on your record, not on Christ's record. And this is where all of these church systems are teaching false ways because they teach easy believism. They'll even preach a gospel that they don't live. They'll tell you be holy. Well, they live like the world. That's not holy. Watching the Packers, here's another one you won't agree with. Watching the Packers is not holy. Oh, come on. That's just one thing, guys will tell me. I say, what is Packers? Is it violent? Yeah. Is it covetous to win? Yeah. Is it rowdy? Yeah. Is it grossly showing off your form and steroid muscles? Yeah. Is it trying to bruise your neighbor to win? Yeah. Does that sound like Jesus to you? No. Why do you do it then? Because I love it in my flesh.
What about golf?
Golf is pretty innate, but did Jesus and Paul golf? No. What did Jesus and Paul do? Here, you want to be like them? Every answer is the gospel. Be like Jesus. Ready? What did Jesus spend his life doing? Working when he was a carpenter, then preaching, then fellowshipping, then discipling, and then going out into the Father's creation, not to shoot a trophy deer or catch a big bass, to commune with the Father to restore himself. Is there anything else Jesus did? No hobbies. No vacations, no carnality. He didn't go to the Roman games for fun. Yeah, no problem. I used to be a hunter. Yeah. Now you go to, you need deer for your freezer. Awesome. You need deer because I got to get a big rack and.
What if I want to get a big rack because I don't want to take a small one? I just don't want to take a small one. I need a nice.
You ask me all these questions. Shoot any deer you want, eat it. If you sit and boast about the size of the antlers, you're proud and God hates you. Did you know God hates sinners? Shaking his head. Psalm 5:5 says God hates the wicked. 11:5 says God hates those who love violence. John 9 says God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners.
This is a question. I'm not arguing again here. I'm just coming off the stance with this question. What? So now, knowing the information now, what do we have to do in the next step?
What would be the next step? Wow. Pinch me. I got grown men asking me what's the next step, and they don't seem to be mockers. I'm like in street preacher paradise here. Usually I'm surrounded by mockers that want to beat me up.
The fear of God terrifies me. I believe the rapture's coming. I believe it's going to be like days of Noah.
Let me correct you. The rapture comes at the end of the tribulation, not before.
Okay.
Jesus said in Matthew 24, he's going to collect his elect at the end of the tribulation. Matthew 24. Pre-trib rapture is a false teaching.
No.
Yeah. So you're going to have to suffer the wrath of Satan. Get ready. And I encourage you, ready?
This is. Ready?
I'm ready for the tribulation. You know why? Because I've already lost everything. I've already surrendered everything. I don't care about any physical possessions other than my van that houses us right now. If somebody stole it, we'd live on somehow. We'd find a way. But I'm ready. I've given everything up. But if I had a career, and if I was of the world, and I was of worldly churchianity, and I was still connected in all my sin, I'd go, I'm not ready for Christ's return to the tribulation. I don't know if I'm ready to stick my head in a guillotine and die for Jesus. Because I'm not living for Jesus. Don't die for him if you're not living for him and you've left your sin. If you die in your sin, you're going to lose your soul. You're going to lose your soul. Remember your wife. She can't lay with one man and claim she loves you in her hurt. She leaves that. And if you want to forgive her, what's the first thing you're going to ask her to do? But yet, American Christians go, man, I sin all the time. I'm sinning a lot. Come on, man. God will forgive me. No, he won't. Not if you don't forsake it.
So if we got houses and family and children, young ones.
Oh, you don't have to. You didn't ever hear me say you got to live my life. I'm called to do this, but you have to live a godly, holy life wherever you are. So if you want to work a job and you want to own a house and you want to live in a neighborhood, I didn't tell you you have to get rid of that. But do it in a way that's godly and that you find a ministry that you become salt and light where you are. Not, ready? Man, I work 40 hours. I'm tired, man. I want to go fishing. I want to go boating. I want to go water skiing. I want to go play golf. And now there's no time for ministry. Here's how you start. Ready? Take your job. First of all, I teach about three freedoms. Freedom in Jesus Christ through the gospel. I've been preaching it. Debt free. See, I'm free because I'm debt free. I don't owe nobody nothing. I don't need your money. I don't preach to you for favor like the pastors and the priests do. Don't need money. I'm free. And then the third freedom, debt free, freedom in Christ, free from the world controlling you. And the main thing is that is a job. Let me give you my testimony. I became born again. I was a salesman. Imagine that. Now, not all salesmen are wicked liars, but the company I worked for would say to me, my last name's Polonick. They'd say, Polonick, we know you're a Christian. We're not asking you to lie, but just stop telling the truth all the time. That's kind of how it was. If you know something and I go, well, the customer needs to know, don't tell them because that's going to cost it. And salesmen, like used car salesmen, like lawyers, they tend to twist the truth. I had to leave that job. I had to lose that job. And eventually, God told me, stay as long as you can. Don't sin as much as you can. I gave up passing out. You know who I worked for? Green Bay Packaging. You ever hear them?
I work at Georgia Pacific.
I was your opponent. I was a salesman. I had the Southern District. They were into Green Bay Packers like this. And my boss looked at me and said, you're not going to hand out Packer tickets no more? I said, I can't do it. I said, it's violent, it's worldly, it's carnal. I said, give them to somebody else. That was the beginning of my end. I got a dress story for you. Ready? I was working there when I got convicted about dress. All the salesmen, you ever meet your typical salesmen? Tucked in shirts, the young guys are working out, they're looking good, right?
Yeah.
Pride and vanity. I was doing that. I wasn't working out then, and I got convicted. So I compromised early in my Christian walk, and I said, I'm going to get the largest polo shirt, the work shirts, the polo shirts we wore, and I'm going to untuck it. This will tell you what you got to do. I'm giving you my testimony. So I untucked it. Man, I'm a short guy. I got the like extra large. It was like down to here, untucked, and I'm wearing this. And one day my boss, this is my job, my career job. I'm making three figures. I'm making tons of money. Paul, and I come in the office. I said, what? He goes, what's that? He knew I was a Christian. I'd witnessed to him. He asked me about it. I said, well, John, I'm a Christian. He goes, yeah, but what's that? I said, I'm convicted. I said, I'm not going to be showing my body off anymore. I'm going to wear what God covered us in. I said, a long untucked shirt is what I'm going to wear. And he looked at me and he goes, can I say something to you? And I said, you can say anything, John. He goes, you look sloppy. And I said, why? Am I clean? He goes, you're clean, but you look sloppy. And I said, because I'm not tucked in. I said, I'm not showing my body off anymore, John. He goes, that's not going to work. And I said, hey, John, you believe in Jesus? And he was a Lutheran, worldly Lutheran guy. He goes, you know I do. And I said, if Jesus walked in your office, you know what Jesus would have on? I said, go read the Bible. Jesus wore a robe and a tunic. If John the Baptist walked in, if Paul walked in, if Peter walked in, if any prophet walked in, I said, would you call them sloppy?
Well, that was kind of the garb of the time. So.
It's what the Bible teaches. I said, would you call them sloppy? He said, you're dead set on this, huh? And I said, I am dead set on it, John. That was the beginning of my end. A year and a half later, they met me in a parking lot and they fired me and said, this is famous for we're firing you. We don't want you no more. We dissolved your position. And this is awesome. They gave me 4 months severance pay. And they said, we want you to have this. I said, okay. Took the 4 months severance pay. Went and took everything I had in a blog and turned it into Don't Perish. And that from that point on, I said, I'm never going to work for anybody else. For a short time, we had our own business. We got totally debt free. We liquidated everything we had. And I said, we're going to preach the gospel. So I've been there. I've lost my job. We've lost family. This is what the cost is. You can't follow Christ and be comfortable. He said, come follow me, lose everything. Because guess what? You're all going to lose it anyway. I just sold my homestead 2 years ago. We had it while we were traveling. Beautiful homestead in central Missouri. I owned a whole valley near the Lake of the Ozarks. Beautiful, peaceful place. I'd sit on my porch. I could hand feed the deer and turkeys. It was amazing. That place got so much into my flesh. I loved it there because I'm a country boy. Cutting firewood, sitting. We had our own well, raising our own food. We got nothing to worry about. Antichrist, come. We're fine. God convicted me. And he said, not audible voice in my heart, he said, you love this place. And I said, I do. It's in my flesh. I love it here too much. And pretty much I read the scriptures and God said, do you sell that for me and go? We sold it. We use everything we sold to go preach the gospel. Guess what? People said to me, man, you're crazy. You sold that place at your age to go out in the world. And I said, do I not have to leave it anyway one day? I'm going to lose it one day anyway. So I sold it early. How would I meet you if I'm sitting on my homestead? How would I meet the 50 teenagers I've talked to today and given them the truth of the gospel. The three men we warned and left, the people that said, yeah, you're right about a lot of this. How would I meet these people if I don't lose my life to go follow Christ?
Are young people more receptive to what you say versus like old people who might just say like, oh, you're too judgy or something like that?
You know, it's an amazing thing. I'm glad you asked that. If you asked me that 2 years ago, I would have said, don't matter. I have seen a shift ever since COVID. My wife and I, it's crazy. COVID hit. We were out preaching. They locked everything down. We went back to the homestead to regroup just for a couple, for like 3 or 4 weeks, got everything ready. And my wife looked at me and she said, what are we going to do? I said, what do you mean? She goes, everything's shut down. They're locking everything down. Everybody's wearing masks, all this foolishness. It really was. I said, we're going. She goes, we're going. I said, yeah. She said, I'm with you. Let's go. We went out into the world. We're standing on street corners where hardly anybody is. People are walking by with their masks on and we're going, fear God, not a virus. We're preaching the gospel. We left all of that to go serve Christ. We have met so many young people. I would say 12, 13, 14, right about the age of accountability. And I call them blank chalkboards. They haven't known sin with the knowledge to know it yet. They're not adults. They're innocent and pure. It's amazing to me. I will street preach and families will come by and little kids will come by and they'll stop for a while and then the kids will stop and they're zooming on me and they're watching and they're listening and they will go in with their family sometimes and they'll come back later and I go, oh, I recognize you. They're like, yeah, my dad said I could come back out. Can I talk to you? And I give them the gospel. Old people, most all old people, turned over in their sin, in their lasciviousness, in their wickedness, in their set ways. So the answer to that question is I've seen a lot of young people with open hearts and open minds. And listen.
What do you mean by the mask mandates and the shutdown of pretty much international everything as foolishness?
Foolishness? I said the wearing of the masks, which was foolishness. This guy's an EMT. He could probably tell you that's pretty meaningless in the virus. It was a scam. What it is? Ready? You know what COVID was? COVID was steps towards the new world order. How much could we get away with? Oh, they wouldn't take it only that long. Next time we're going to do this, it's the Antichrist system coming. And here's my prediction, and I'm not a prophet. Ready? Hold on fast. When they get to cryptocurrency and they go cashless, you're done. Because in China right now, they have it. In China, they tell you what job to work, how many kids to have, ready? What hours of the day to go to the park and what days, what day to go to the grocery store. And if you obey their oligarchy system, boom, 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 you get brownie points in your paycheck every month. If you go against them,
you can't preach Jesus
on the sidewalk.
If you jaywalk in China, they have AI like cameras that will pick up your face and just deduct every bank account.
The thing is, they don't have AI. They have machine learning, which is completely different.
Well, you get the concept.
AI, I believe, is the archetype of the beast system that's coming. In Revelation, it says they will give voice to the image of the beast. I believe the AI is going to be all part of that. I think Roman Catholicism is going to merge with the Muslims. It's creating a one world order. Satan's going to rise up. And Satan always has the imitation of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, a triune God is biblical. You have the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. He always has a ripoff of God. And so that's coming. So the COVID was nothing. That was just a mere dirt run, a trial run.
COVID's not gone. We should still be wearing masks at the grave, by the way. You know what I mean? If you actually believe it, why would you wear a mask? Right?
It's just absolutely foolishness.
They have a stuff for it to combat.
And the
vaccines didn't work.
The Bible actually predicts all of this, that there'll come a one world order in the last days. There'll come a marking system in Revelation 13, 14, that he's going to submit you and you must take it. If you take the mark of the beast, your fate is sealed. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you're gone. And so if you're not living for Christ today, you're not taking the mark of the, or not going to die for Jesus tomorrow. Lose your lives today and follow Christ. Follow him biblically. Come out of the world. You can't claim you're of Jesus unless you're walking in his ways and his word and his truth. One sin is going to keep you. I remember you. One sin is going to keep you. You, weren't you here before?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Guy had a hat just like you. Sorry. No, you right here. Him.
Oh, yes.
He was here before. I see you. I recognize the hat. I might be old, but I remember some stuff. One sin's going to keep you out of the kingdom of God. Go read Revelation 22:14. Whoremongers, adulterers, idolaters, sorcerers. Pretty bad group of men, right? And whoever loves and practices a lie. And it also says it in Revelation 21. And Paul says no liars will inherit the kingdom of God. So what one sin is going to keep you out of the kingdom of God? Pride, worldliness, false religion.
It's not repentance.
If you don't repent and follow Christ, you can't be of Christ. That's rebellion. Did you say you won't repent and cover your head?
I did not.
Oh, what did you say? I'm sorry.
I said, if I sin, am I going to hell?
Yes. Lest you repent. Yeah, repent means turn and come out of it and leave your sin. If you're of the world, you got to leave your sin.
So like the meaning is like, you don't like, oh, I repent of looking at that porn, and then the next night you go into porn again because God's going to forgive you anyway. That's